How appropriate, how fitting that we thank God Almighty for the men and women who have put on the uniform and that have given the ultimate sacrifice and have provided for you and I the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. And so once again, we thank God for each of you, and we thank God for his provision for the needs that you have. At this time, I want to invite you in your programs to take out the scriptures that are there and allow me to take a few moments just to share this important message on gratitude. How fitting on a day like this. I think we live in a country today that has forgotten what gratitude is. Our gratitude and our thankfulness has been reduced to a hashtag on social media or a status post. By doing such, we're teaching the next generation not to value what matters most, especially our veterans. It's no secret that our country is very much confused. We call wrong right and right wrong. We're so quick to take up a cause, but yet miss the people who are right under our nose that need help, our veterans. There shouldn't be one veteran in the United States of America that has any needs. The country should provide and take care of them 100%. The last time I checked my paycheck, and I'm ordained, I still pay taxes. And yes, there are nice projects to be done and bridges to be painted and social programs to fund, but we should never forget our veterans. In fact, I pray that one day our government, somebody will pass a bill. Maybe I'll ask for it to be passed one day. Veterans should be exempt from certain taxes in America. They should not have to pay property tax, in my opinion. And call it the HERO Act, if it hasn't been named yet. We should be extremely thankful. And in our nation, we need to go back to that. We've become a nation of complainers, of bellyachers. I think if you ask some of the men and women from generations past, they would say we're pretty soft today in America, considering all that they had to endure. Just look at some of the heroes that are here today. And so when we think about thankfulness and gratitude and the genuineness that God wants us to have, we turn to the scriptures. The scriptures give us a canvas of thankfulness. It calls us to have an attitude of gratitude, if you will. And so here in the scriptures, you'll notice Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't just mean when you're on top of the mountain and things are going great. That means even when you're in the valley, that you give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, for this is the will of God. This is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be caught up in complaining. He wants us to be people who are thankful. And we have a lot to be thankful for here in America. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, thankfulness is very good spiritually, but also psychologically. It's been said that gratitude is the enemy of depression. As we go through many of the mental battles that we have, and a lot goes on between your two ears, no matter how big or small your head is. A lot of struggles, a lot of battles that we have, some things that we haven't gotten rid of yet, some things that we're holding on to. One of the best medicines is thankfulness and gratitude. And here's some benefits listed for you right here in the notes that are found in your program. Thankfulness combats depression, as we find out in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, notice with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen to this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thankfulness also refocuses our priorities. In Luke chapter 17, you may recall the 10 lepers who had this aggressive disease that basically made them an outcast as we studied the Gospels. And in St. Luke's Gospel, it says that the 10 went to go present themselves to the religious hierarchy, but only one came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute, wasn't there 10? Where's the other one? Whereas the other nine, only one of them had a heart of gratitude, because the passage was teaching that that's the focus that we need to have. We should always have a priority of it. It also helps with everyday responsibilities. We're told in Colossians 3:17 that no matter what we're doing, whether we're taking care of the family, just as the Sospino Russo represented in Rolling Thunder and Michael, caring for the community, whatever it may be, that in all the responsibilities that we have, in home, out of the home, we're to do it with thankfulness. Thankfulness also strengthens our prayers. It helps bring awareness to others, like we're doing here today. In less than 2 weeks, we'll honor all police officers here in Staten Island. You may remember that event from last year. It was a terrific gathering. We'll do the same on November the 29th. And why did we take up that responsibility to honor officers? Because we saw all the negativity in our culture, all the complaining. And we have a belief from Scripture is that thankfulness raises all boats in the harbor. And we're going to do the same for veterans. As we gather here today, this is also a prayer as well as a statement to make that we're going to take up the care as best we can to partner with reputable organizations to care for veterans. It also helps you and I connect with God when we have a thankful heart. No matter where you are in your journey with God, you don't need to be religious to get to heaven. Nobody ever went to heaven because they were religious. Heaven is given to those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And thankfulness helps us connect because the ultimate sacrifice was made on the cross through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally, thankfulness prevents the attitude of ingratitude. And that is what I'd like to read today, this short passage before we bring our service to a close. Continuing in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 18. As some of you may know, Luke by profession is a physician. So anybody who is a physician here, you would appreciate that this is a very learned and studied man. Luke is also a historian. He gives us certain historical facts in his gospel that prove the validity of the gospel and the birth of Christ. In fact, in just a few short weeks, we'll celebrate Christmas around the country. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary when the angel came to her. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary going to see Elizabeth. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary bringing forth the birth. And it's Luke who also writes the book of Acts and follows Mary all the way into the book of Acts. I can almost imagine Mary saying, "Luke, get away from me here, enough already." But Luke's a historian and a doctor. A miraculous conception's pretty cool to a doctor, you would say. And so Luke is a historian, a physician. But most importantly, he is an instrument of Almighty God. And he preserves these beautiful accounts of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them was on Jesus' way to the cross, the Passover, if you will. In Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 42, it says this. Then it happened, Luke transitioning from a previous passage, as he, that being Jesus, was coming near to Jericho. This was about a six-hour journey because they were going from Jericho all the way to Jerusalem. It says that a certain blind man, now Luke tells us that there was just one blind man. Matthew's gospel tells us that there was two blind men, and Mark's gospel tells us the name of this blind man. What we could do by harmonizing the gospels is that there were indeed two blind men. One of them, we're going to find out, received the blessing of receiving his sight back, and he just went on and did his own thing. But one stuck with Jesus, so much so that we find out his name, Mark tells us, his name is Bartimaeus. And he most likely became a very prominent figure in the early church, the very first church after Christ rose from the dead. And so here was this blind man, we find out, Dr. Luke tells us, that sat by the road begging. Because if you were blind, that's what you were reduced to. As you know, the religious culture, they looked down on people with any type of disease or deformity or any type of struggle. They could care less about them. In fact, they made money on them. And so here was this blind man reduced to begging. Verse 36, and it says, "And hearing the multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." As we know, at this point in the life of Jesus, he wasn't just gathering a few people. There were thousands of people following him. And that could bring about a commotion. Verse 38, and he cried out in the Greek language. It means like a scream, a plea in anguish. And he cried out in anguish saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, if you're in a jam and you're struggling, if you're going to cry something out, you might as well cry the name of Jesus out. And that's what this blind man did. Son of David is a messianic title as we study over in the Old Testament and cross over into the New Testament. Son of David, have mercy on me. No greater thing than to ask for God's mercy in your life. And here, this blind man, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. Hey, hush up over here. We're trying to enjoy, you know, Jesus and all that he's going to do. Because there was a lot of thrill seekers there. There was a lot of people. Although they didn't have social media there, there was a lot of hashtaggers there. That's what they were about. No action. They were just there for the thrill. There's a lot of people like that in our country. They say they care about veterans. They say they care about our country. But it's just political expediency. It's just for their own convenience. Much like here on this road, there were just people there for their own convenience. They could care less that there was a blind man who probably hadn't eaten, who probably was forgotten about. They tell him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. That is very telling. In the Greek language, it means that he kept crying. He was shouting over the yells that were coming at him to be quiet. There's a lot of people in our country today telling us to be quiet about what's right, isn't there? They want to drown out our voice. That's why we need organizations like Rolling Thunder. We need our American Legions. We need people to stand up, the community, to join forces so that the POWs will never be forgotten and the MIAs will never be forgotten. And certainly those that are here will not be forgotten. And so this man cried out over the top of those voices that were trying to silence him. And so it says in verse 40, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And so Jesus hears what's going on. Jesus is God. He knows all things. He knows exactly where this blind man is. The blind man may not know where Jesus is, but Jesus knows where the blind man is. And even if you're here today and you're sitting in your confusion and your darkness over whatever you're going through, you may not know exactly where Jesus is. I tell you, you came to a pretty good place today to find him, if you're looking, church. You may not know exactly where he is, but guess what? He knows exactly where you are. And it says, Jesus commanded that this man would be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Anytime a question is asked in the Bible from Jesus or from God, it's not for their benefit because they know all things. It's for the person's benefit. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Of course, that's what it is. And then listen to this. Then Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Jesus wasn't saying that your faith was strong enough, now you can finally be healed. He was saying that your faith is in the right place. That's why this healing has come. Now, we can learn two important lessons from this passage that I'd like to draw your attention to, and you might want to jot this down in your notes. This has a lot to do with thankfulness and gratitude, and so write this down. We need to put actions behind our thankfulness. There were two blind men. One man, we don't know where he went. Maybe he went out to get something to eat. I don't know where he's at. But there is one blind man who's going to put action to his thankfulness. And that, as we find out, is Bartimaeus. He puts actions behind his thankfulness. Talk is cheap. We got to do something. We got to get up and do something. And that's what Bartimaeus is going to do here. Verse 43 says this, and immediately he received sight. So notice that he didn't get an eye patch, and Jesus said, make your eyes got to adjust to the light. He was immediately healed. If we know anything about the intricacy of the eye, the human eye and the nerve endings, the fact that the human eye in general is an amazing creation of God. Because of it's really like a computer that you take in what you're seeing and you're able to process things immediately. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving's coming up. When I see the antipasto out, my eyes process that, sneak one in when nobody's looking. I don't know about you. Just check your eyes out then. See, you tell me if they're working. This man had been blind. Now, blindness could have been caused from birth because they didn't have the most sanitary conditions when babies were born. It could have been because of dust storms. Dust would get and contaminate the eyes. We don't know exactly why. All we know is this man is blind. Now he's healed. But he could see immediately, and you might want to circle that word, because you see a lot of these phony people on television that have these healing services, and they pretend that they're getting healed, and they kind of dance it out. That never happened in the Bible. People were instantly healed by Jesus. They didn't need to go to 6 weeks of therapy. They were immediately healed, because that's the power of God. He doesn't do anything 50%, including our salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's not like the tolls we pay here, the $100 tolls we pay to get off and on the island. You have direct access to God. You don't got to pay to get into heaven. Christ has paid the price on the cross by dying for my sins and for your sins, paid in full. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead so that one day when we leave this world, we have a home in heaven. This blind man is seeing a lot more than just the colors and the trees and people. He's seeing eternal life here through the Son of God. And it says immediately he received the sight, and then circle this word, followed. This word followed means to be a disciple. Jesus had the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. Disciple simply means a follower of Christ. This man received the greatest blessing that he had ever known, which was his sight. He didn't just get it and forget about that freedom that he has now. What he did was he immediately followed Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to be thankful in two very important ways, especially as Thanksgiving approaches. We need to be thankful for what God has done for us. We need to be thankful and remember that God has a purpose for our life. We don't have to be the greatest person in the world. Jesus is that. We follow him. We need to be thankful to God and put actions behind our thankfulness. We need to live each day truly as a gift that God has given to us, especially if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that he has forgiven our sins, and that he has guaranteed a home in heaven. We should be so thankful for what the Lord has done for us, that each week we should look forward to go to church. Even if we don't know even how to pray correctly, we should just give a thanks to God each day for the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem. You know, I respect all different religions. I've studied all of them. But I have to tell you, there's only one faith that promises the free gift of salvation and eternal life. And that is signified and symbolized by that empty tomb in Jerusalem. Every other religious figure that claims some form of divinity, although it's not true, they're all dead. Jesus is alive and well, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. We have much to be thankful for. I mean, wouldn't it be miserable if this was all there was? It'd be a joke. It'd be depressing. Thank God that we have an eternity to look forward to. Thank God that those who have gone ahead of us in Christ, we will see them again, and we'll be able to salute our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they've gone missing here from earth. We're thankful to God for eternity and for the promise of such. This man followed. Now, flipping over your notes, here's some actions that we need to do. We need to go to commitment instead of convenience. We need to have a commitment. That second area that I'd submit to you today in the presence of our heroes that are here is that we need to make a strong commitment as a church for veterans. In 2017, we need to have a veteran support group right under this roof. That we have a place where all veterans could come. If you believe that, give God a hand for that. Now, what we hope that could grow into is other ministries to help veterans access the benefits that they so rightly deserve. To borrow a word from my dear friend Joe, to help our veterans navigate through some of the different red tapes that are out there. And then wouldn't it be great for the church to take up the cause and to help address the issue of homeless veterans here in our country? That should never be. Should never be. We have a duty as citizens of this country, people who live in freedom, who worship in freedom on the weekend. We have a duty to care for our veteran, and we will only be as good as our thankfulness is. And if we fail to recognize the veteran, we jeopardize the future of the next generation. We must care for our veterans, not just in public ceremonies once a year, but each and every day. It needs to be legislation, it needs to be policy, it needs to be law, and any politician or anybody that tries to take up the mantle of leadership that does not agree with it does not deserve to be in office. Simple as that. Commitment over convenience and contributions over complaints. You know, in our country today, many of our younger veterans return, and they return to a hero's welcome. But that wasn't so for some of our veterans that came home years and decades ago. It wasn't very comfortable, and they weren't honored very well. That same attitude is starting to come back. I just read a story the other day about a veteran's family that was going. Their son had been killed in battle. And when the captain of the plane announced that we have a special military family on board and we're going to let them disperse first, some people booed. Welcome to 2016, where our values are mixed up. Forget about letting them off the plane. How about somebody go carry their luggage for them? How about somebody buy the family dinner? But we're too busy booing, because we've become a country of complaints. We've become the United States of crybabies in certain circles. And look no further than the fact that we can't honor our veteran. The fact that people burn flags. The fact that people will not show respect when the national anthem is sung. People making millions and millions of dollars to play a child's sport are so spoiled. There would be no football without veterans. There'd be no bridges, no parks. There'd be no peace without our veterans. We need to turn complaints in our country to contributions. We need to contribute, not just because it's popular or it's in vogue, but because we have been endowed by God Almighty to have this sacrificial spirit to give back to our country. We need to have an action, just like Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus didn't spend time going, look at me, I've been healed of my blindness. He immediately came to the Lord and gave thanks, and he followed him. He put actions behind his thankfulness. And I pray that we would do that yes, we are thankful. Well, let's put some actions behind that thankfulness. And then finally, as we close this last point, let's focus on our freedoms to be thankful. There's a lot we could gripe about, I guess. Somebody once profoundly said that if everybody on your block went outside and put all their problems in a bin, and after everybody was done and you looked at everybody else's problems, you go take your problems and go home. We could window shop everybody else's life, and we go through all of that. That's why sometimes our prayer life is stagnant, because we start off with all our complaints. We need to start off by being thankful. Let's be thankful to Almighty God for what he's given to us. And let's focus on the freedoms that we have. That's exactly what Bartimaeus did. It says this in Luke 18 as we close off this passage, verse 43, the last part of it. And it says, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Why was Bartimaeus giving praise to God? Why was he worshiping Jesus, we're told in this passage? Because he had freedom from darkness, that's why. He was in complete and total darkness. And now he's been freed from that. We should give thanks to God that way as well, as we have been freed because of Christ from the darkness of hell, the darkness of sin. No matter who you are, if your faith is in Christ, heaven is guaranteed to you. We should focus on the freedom in Christ that we have. And secondly, we need to focus on the freedom that our veterans have afforded to us here in America. And so I close with this thought. It's from John's gospel. When I think about our veterans, I think about John 15, 12 through 13. Some of you may have never heard this verse before. Some of you have heard it hundreds of times. This is Jesus speaking. And tell me if this doesn't resemble the heart of a veteran. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And listen to verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When a veteran comes in our presence, we give thanks and honor for them, because they were willing to lay down their life for you and I. In many ways, the heart of a soldier represents the heart of our Savior. This is Jesus, isn't it? He laid down his life for you and I. He laid it down so that one day we can have eternal life in heaven. And so on this special veteran service, we give thanks to God for our veterans, for all that they stand for and all that they've done. It's a call to action today to say, yes, I want to get involved and I want to put some feet to my thankfulness. And most importantly, today is a reminder of the greatest love of all, the greatest sacrificial love of all, which was Christ 2,000 plus years ago, going to the cross, taking my place and your place, laying his life essentially down for you and I, so that we could be gathered here today in this old theater, now a church, all those years later, and hear this timeless message that has preserved famine, war, poverty, and persecution. And we hold God's word in our hands this morning, and we could stand on this truth, and we can have genuine gratitude that there is no greater love than this, than the fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And so thank Almighty God for his love. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. We thank God for our veterans. We ask God's blessing on each of you, that he would not only bless you, but he would bless your family. We ask God's blessing on this initiative of caring for veterans. May great and new ministries be launched and reaches to help veterans, young and old, new and old, whatever it may be. Let's step up to the plate. May God bless all of our veterans, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, you have blessed our country with crops, with invention, with great advancement in our history. But perhaps no greater blessing of all is the freedom that we have. We thank you, O God, as you hold the heart of the King in your hand, and you have sovereignly chosen America to be a free nation. And you have blessed us through our history with men and women who embody the gospel's call for sacrifice. Oh God, you have been a great comfort to many men and women on the battlefield and those who have come home. We ask once more, oh God, that you would bless our nation, not for ourselves, but for our veterans. May the next generation hear loudly over the perversion of ingratitude, the profound appreciation that we are to have for our veterans, and for all things that you've blessed us with, oh God. May we be a grateful nation. May we turn our hearts back to you. May we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Son, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. That is the gospel. And we commit our hearts to you once more. We ask your blessing upon each person that's here today. We ask, O God, that you would bless our disabled veterans, O God, as well. Lord, provide for their needs and their family. Lord, may it be a new day in our country. And Lord, raise up leaders that have a heart for you and a heart for our veterans, for there's no two greater loves to have in this country. We commit these prayers this morning, and we sow these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.